Going to be reading from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Imitating Christ, that's what that set of verses is about. Paul is talking to the church at Philippi and encouraging them to stay humble, stay as one group, and take care of each other. And that is very important for us as a church, as a people. It's also very important on the battlefield. Just like in church where we care for one another, on the battlefield, you watch out for your brothers and sisters. And they teach you that very early in the military. Those of you that have been in the military know that in basic training, you get the pick them up, put them down, and you go through all these little things, and if one person messes up, y'all pay for it. And what that does is that encourages you to watch out for each other and make sure the others don't make mistakes. You are caring for one another. You don't leave anyone behind, and you make sure that your buddy's okay. They teach you that early on in the military. You become very... It becomes a part of you. And as Christians in a church, caring for one another is also a part of us. It is built into us. We are to be like Christ, imitate Christ. Ran across a funny little thing that asks, would you like to smell like Jesus? And I thought, what? And apparently there is a perfume company in California that makes a perfume called Virtue that they claim, if you wear it, will make you smell exactly like Jesus. They went through the Bible and they found some plants and things that they felt mixed together would make you smell like Jesus, apricot and frankincense and myrrh and different things like that. I think that's kind of an absurd thing, but to each his own. Max Lucado kind of takes it from there, and in his book, Just Like Jesus, makes the statement, which is very important, that God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Now, the problem we have in our society today is people reading the New Testament and thinking, well, it's all about love and forgiveness and I'm okay, you're okay. They read that first part, God loves you just the way you are. But they skip the rest of that that says, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And that's very important for us. When you become a Christian, when you become a part of a church family, you change. Yeah, he accepts you as you are, but in doing so, wants you to become a different person, a humble person, someone who cares about others more than themselves, living in harmony and humility. And Paul wants us to really understand that. Having the same love, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, caring about the value of others above yourself. not just in church, as I mentioned, in the military. You've heard stories of people. In fact, I think I told a story here in a sermon a couple of weeks ago about a couple of gentlemen in a foxhole, and a grenade got lobbed in there, and one of them jumped on the grenade, obviously died, to save his buddy. You have to be willing to give your life for others, not just on the battlefield, but in our church families. And I don't mean literally give your life in your church family, but you are to be willing to do whatever it takes to take care of one another. And I think we do a pretty good job of that here. But we need to make sure that we do that. When somebody's down and out, visit them. If somebody has troubles and you maybe have gone through that same thing, sit down and talk to them. Help them to understand that it's okay. And that's what Paul's talking about. Caring about one another, loving one another, and knowing that you are a part of a greater family, the church family. Fred Craddock tells a story about visiting a small rural church. He was going to do a revival for them on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, he got there a little early on this Friday afternoon, and there was a funeral concluding. And the pastor recognized him and motioned for him to come over. He wanted to introduce Fred to the young widow. This young widow had lost her husband in a tragic car accident and was now going to have to take care of four children. Fred Craddock felt kind of awkward being introduced to her in this particular situation. And he told her, he says, you know, this is no time for you to be meeting strangers. And I'm sorry, I'm very sorry for your loss. He said, I know this is a very difficult time for you. And she said, yes, it is. So I won't be at services tonight, but I'll be there tomorrow night, and I'll be there Sunday morning. And Fred Craddock looked at the young lady and he said, oh, you don't need to. And she said, yes, I do. He said, well, what I meant was it's a hard time for you. You really don't need to be in these revival services. And she said, I know it's hard. It's already hard. But you see, this is my church, and they are going to see that my children and I are okay. And that's what church is all about. That's what church families are all about. That's what Paul is talking about, being of one mind, being loving brothers and sisters, caring for one another, whether it's in church or on the battlefield. We care for one another. And we see it that way. We know that if something happens to us, we know that others in the church are going to make sure we're okay. Just like she knew the others in the church were going to make sure her and her children were okay. And because of that, she wanted to be a part of those services. Yeah, she couldn't be there that evening because it was the funeral day and she just couldn't do it. But she knew she needed to be with her church family. Ronald Nicholson talks about how there is a quick way to identify a great city. I mean, if you think about it, if you think about Paris, you think about the Eiffel Tower. You think about Venice, you think about the water, the rivers, or whatever that's surrounding the town. Every major city has something that identifies that city as being a great city. And he says the same thing goes with churches. Churches have something that identifies them as a great church. Some little niche that they might have that a church up the street doesn't have. But something identifies them as a great church. And I think something that identifies this as a great church is we do care about the community. We do care about each other. We take care of the mission. We take care of the mission kids. We take care of children at Christmas. We take care of children around the community. We take care of people in the community. We take care of each other. And that is a very notable thing for this church to have in its favor, something to be recognized by. Because we care about each other, we have one mindset, one love, and we don't do it because we think we're going to get something out of it. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Because we feel the need to do it because we are Christian. A healthy church looks out for one another. And I would consider this a healthy church. We may be small in numbers, but we are a healthy church. I'm sure all of you remember or have heard back about a song by Simon and Garfunkel back in the 60s, 70s. Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And the lyrics go something like this. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. And that's how churches are. We are like a bridge over troubled waters. And when things go wrong in our church family, when things go wrong in our community, we are there as that bridge. We lay ourselves down to help those people. Just like a common phrase today is, I'll have your back. We have each other's back. We care enough about each other that we watch each other's back. We make sure everybody's okay. We talk to each other through the week. I know that you all run into each other in different places or you call each other. You all have very good relationships with each other and you have each other's back. You know what's going on in this community. It's just like on a football field, on a battlefield, where you have the other person's back. Just like the linebackers have the quarterback's back, they protect him. They watch out for him and make sure that he doesn't get tackled. On the battlefield, you watch out for the others in your troop, or your squadron, or whichever you're in. You look out for each other. You have each other's back. And if you'll think about it, the Bible tells us that there is no greater gift than to give your life for another. Those people that have fallen on the battlefield, I'm sure, are dancing in heaven because they did just that. They gave their life to save another or others. They gave their life to save us so that we can be in church today, so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy, because they had our back and they have treasures in heaven because of that. And God has our back. Jesus has our back. No matter what kind of troubled waters we find ourselves in, we know that Jesus is there and has our back. Actually, I like to think of it as he has our front because he goes before us to keep us out of trouble. The Bible even tells us he goes before and behind. He's got you surrounded. He knows how to take care of you. So no matter what trouble you wind up in, no matter what troubled waters you find yourself swimming through, he's got your back. He is there for you, just like we are there for each other. During the migrating season, you see the ducks and the geese flying, and you see them flying in those V formations, and you may already know this, but they do that for a reason. The stronger ones get in the front. And the weaker as it goes back. And they do that because as the one in front is flapping their wings and flying, it actually creates lift behind it, which the one behind picks up, which creates lift for the one behind, and so on and so on and so on. They help each other fly. And because they help each other fly in that V formation, they add 71% to their range. They can go 71% farther than they would have if they were just flying together. They work together and help each other. You also hear the geese honking as they're flying. And they do that. It's the ones in the back encouraging the ones in front of them. Keep on. You're doing great. Keep on. And we do the same thing. We don't honk at each other, but we encourage each other. You're doing great. Keep on. Keep on. As you may be helping them. It's a matter of gratitude. You help someone in your church family, and they encourage you and thank you and give great gratitude for those things that you do. It's about encouragement. It's about humility. It's about gratitude. It's about love for one another. To have the same love, being in one mind and one spirit, doing nothing out of selfish ambition. Paul is telling them that. He's telling them how proud he is of them, that they are doing that. And he also tells them how they ought to be willing to lay down their life in order to fulfill their mission. It's not just about each other. I know we take care of each other. But it is also about our mission. And our mission as Christians is to help the community, to grow God's kingdom. Talk to people about Christ. Talk to people about your experiences with Christ. He did this for me. I thought I was lost, and He did this for me. And I know that He can do the same thing for you. Tell people things like that. They want to hear personal messages, things that Christ has done for you. That makes a greater impact than anything. A personal message, personal testimony. But you got to talk to people about it. You've got to spread the gospel. That is our mission. And we should be willing to do whatever it takes to spread the gospel and complete our mission. We love one another. We take care of one another. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of a lawsuit in Massachusetts. And what happened was a gentleman was walking along the pier. And he slipped and fell in. Couldn't swim. Was desperately trying to keep himself above water. The friends that were with him were too far away to get to him. They heard him hollering, but they couldn't get to him. Close by on the beach was somebody laying there sunning themselves. He looked up, saw the man drowning, and laid back down. Not my problem. So the family sued this man for negligence because he could have saved their relative's life. But the court said no. They lost. The court said this man had no legal obligation to save that man's life. And no, you don't have a legal obligation to do anything for anybody. But you have a moral and a spiritual obligation to help one another. So while you may not be compelled legally, you are compelled because you are a Christian. Because you know you should do it. You know it's the right thing to do. You know that it would be God's will. You know Jesus would do the same thing. So it's not about being made to do something. It's about wanting to do something. It's about the right thing. It's about helping each other in troubled times. And man, we are living in some troubled times. And we have to watch out for each other. whether it be in our community, our state, our nation, the world. Look at all the stuff that's going on around us. And yeah, we may not be able to do anything about some of the greater things that are happening, but we can do something about things that are happening in our churches, in our community. That is something we have control over. And I encourage you to do those kinds of things. Watch out for one another. Talk to one another about Christ, coworkers, friends, neighbors. Invite them to church. Make them feel good about Christ, because we feel good about Christ. And I've always been of the opinion, if you can convince somebody to go to church, I don't care if they come to this church or go to the Baptist church up the street or go to the Presbyterian church around the corner, as long as they're in church, because that's where people need to be. And if you said something to those people that encouraged them to go to church, God bless you. You've done a great thing. If somebody is having difficulties and you've been through a similar situation and you lift up their spirits and you make them feel better about it, God bless you. You should be helping others like that. One of the things that some scholars consider, if you think about the problem of evil, and this is kind of on a different subject but sort of related, is why bad things happen. And one of the things, for example, they think bad things might happen because, say you survived cancer, and you know somebody that is going through that. Since you've been through that, God gave you the strength and brought you through that, you can talk to somebody who is going through that and encourage them and get them through it. So the problem of evil, bad things happening to us, could be considered a means of us finding compassion for others because we've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Who knows why bad things happen to us, but that makes a good argument. We look out for each other because we've been through something. We can help others go through the same thing. We can lead them through troubled waters. Amen.